Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, look up. It's Friday.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
6'11". And then there was Al. The sexual harassment conversation gets louder. Al Franken, Democrat senator from Minnesota. Leanne Tweeden, KABC Morning Show. 2006 USO Tour picture. Yeah, you get the idea. At 6:11, let's do the top 66.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
And we invite you for just a few minutes to join us and be the first caller for Lou. Lou's first call coming up in just a few minutes. What type of calls do we take there, Andrea?
Oh, we take all of your home improvement questions. Anything you have.
Anything this fall. Anything going on. All right, so here's item number one on the top 6 at 6. Al Franken is now one of the accused, and he has already apologized and told everybody, I'm an idiot. This is 2006. Well, you want to pick up the story? You want to fill in the details?
Sure, yeah. It's Leanne Tweeden. She said that Al Franken forcibly kissed and groped her. And this was persistent and uncomfortable. It went on for many times, not just one meeting, but a couple of different times where they saw each other. And then Al Franken basically owned it. And Tweeden was saying that the incident happened backstage before a performance of Veteran, Steve, a USO skit, after Franken suggested that they rehearse the kiss scene. So she eventually agreed to it, and it's just it's an uncomfortable story.
Yeah, he jammed his tongue down her throat. She didn't see it coming. Then they took a picture while she was sleeping of him grabbing her boobs.
Right, and he...
You don't know if he grabbed her boobs or not. It doesn't really matter.
I know. Well, unless you read President Trump's tweet where he seems to go on and on about...
Here we go.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, the president of the United States, once again proves the child that he is, and the rules don't apply to him, and tweeted twice overnight. And to think that just last week, Franken was lecturing anyone who would listen about sexual harassment and respect for women. Prior to that, he wrote, the Al Frankenstein picture, because that's funny, is really bad, speaks 1,000 words. Where do his hands go in pictures 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6? If you are accused of sexually assaulting 13 women, if there's an active lawsuit against you, you should shut up.
And there's audio tapes of you saying what you should do with the woman if she says no?
Yeah, just grab it. Just grab it. You're a star. You can do what you want. Reason number 10,004 why this dope has got to go. Yes, dope.
Has he said anything about Roy Moore, by the way? Has he tweeted anything about Roy Moore recently? Yeah.
No, and he shouldn't. He shouldn't talk about Roy Moore. Right. He shouldn't talk. If you stand accused of starting a fire, don't show up at a fire and go, wow, look at that fire.
Right. Add gasoline to it.
Stop it. It's just outrageous. Next. Chicago police said 7 cops, once part of an alleged corrupt crew, will be removed from street duties while their conduct years ago was investigated. What do we know about this story?
This is convictions of 15 men were tied to a tainted Chicago police officer. They were this started out as this, and then now it's filtering down to these 7 police officers who were part of a they're calling it a corruption crew. They would go out, shake down people. Burglary charges as well, too. So they are being removed from street duties while their conduct is investigated. This happened years ago, too.
And next. South suburban school chief is suspected of looting low-income lunch programs to fund her lifestyle. Pamela Strain used the small nonprofit school she founded in 2005 to take as much as $2.7 million in funds over a seven-year period. She admitted to this yet?
I don't think she has. I don't think she has admitted to this yet.
She packed at all for prison?
I don't know about that, but this—the sickest thing of this is that she's stealing money. These are very underprivileged kids. This is a very
and this will be their lunch program.
This is their lunch program. Yeah,
literally taking food out of their mouth.
Yeah, $2.7 million in funds. So this isn't just stealing a couple of milk cartons.
Yeah, yeah, Listen, there are no words. Next. What did taxpayers lose in the bill passed by the House? Well, if it were to go as it stands, and it won't because the Senate still has to chime in, the deduction for medical expenses goes away. So these are people who have real serious medical issues who spend a lot of money on their medical condition every single year because you have to hit a pretty high number to even make those medical expenses part of your tax return. That goes away. Most tax benefits for college goes away. The state and local tax deduction goes away. And detection for theft or loss of valuables goes away. There's also the adoption credit. If you try to adopt a child, it's very expensive. That goes away. Teachers aren't able to deduct the expenses they use for their classrooms when they spend their own money. That goes away. Other than that, flawless.
Right. Oh, yeah.
There's one bonus there. Do you see that you get to deduct your private plane if you have a private jet?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
It's a new one. Yeah, they found that one overnight.
There you go. Thank you,
Steve.
Oh,
fantastic. That's going to help me.
No. Oh, that's going to help all those teachers, too.
Right.
Yeah. Next. Tesla unveiled a battery-powered, nearly self-driving semi-truck, which it hopes to start selling by the end of 2019. I'm driving down the road in 2019. 2019, it's 2 years from now. And you look up and there's an 18-wheeler and nobody's behind the wheel.
I'm going to pull over.
And finally this. 210,000 gallons of oil have leaked out of the Keystone Pipeline in South Dakota before you start losing your mind. They're on it, and they expect the cleanup to take a very short period of time, which is rather remarkable. But these companies plan for disaster, and they have to. Why it leaked, we don't know. What damage has been done prior to the ability to stop it and clean it up still remains to be seen.
It's equivalent to about 5,000 barrels of oil.
Yeah.
Who could have saw that coming?
I could have put that in my private plane that I now get to deduct. At 6:18, let's do the traffic from Mary. We'll come back, and Lou will do the first call, and he'll answer your home improvement question. I believe we have a caller on the line, but, chime in. Meanwhile, this is sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. We're back after this.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
That's a lovely introduction to Lou Manfredini. But Lou, John DeCoss, our musical director, did a song for you that
I know,
we never play.
Use it.
So, Jake, we're not here next. Jake, can you hear me? I don't know if you're listening to me, if you don't look at me. Next Friday.
He likes Eric in the morning.
I'm sorry?
He likes to listen to Eric in the morning.
No, he's listening. He's just doing three different things. Next Friday, we're not here. Okay, so 2 weeks from today, if you can have the John DeCoss Lou dance ready, that'd be great. All right. In the middle of that, we just lost your caller. we're off to a flying start. All right. So good morning to you.
Hi.
Are you well?
Yeah.
Well, that didn't sound very convincing. Is everything okay?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
What's the matter?
I'm okay. I'm fine.
Is there something you want to tell us?
No. I actually am a little under the weather, but I don't like talking about that.
What's the matter with you?
I got a little sinus infection.
Oh, okay. Are you taking anything?
I need to go see the doctor.
Yeah. And, let me tell you something. Ennett's in here, and he's not feeling good. He won't go to a doctor. I think he's Amish.
Really?
No. I will go to a doctor when necessary. I don't feel I'm at that point.
Yeah, I'm at that point.
Yeah. Lou will drive you.
I don't want
you to be in pain, Dave.
Maybe
together.
You guys can get a twofer.
Yeah. I can put your walker will fit in the back of my car.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Wow. I love you, Dave.
Texter says, Lou, can I install ceramic tile over a molded shower base?
No.
No. Yeah, that'll fix you. No.
No,
it'll, no, it won't, no, you can't.
It won't stick. And I mean, if you want to do, there's a terrific, if you want to do a tile base, there's a terrific product line of a company called Tile Ready, which makes these synthetic pre-bases that you put down, and they come, you can order them in half-inch increments. And so literally you can fit them in any shower area you want. And you place those down, you put the drain through that, and then you put your tile on top of that.
All right, and Bob joins us. Let me get Bob in the air here. Bob, you're the first caller, so you're a big winner. So don't hang up, because I have delightful prizes for you. But what is your question?
Well, hi, Lou.
Morning.
Sorry you're not feeling well.
Thank you.
It's better.
He's just gone on and on about it, hasn't he?
well, I can... Whoa. Sorry about that. I've got a big giant pine tree in my yard, and it's difficult to grow grass around that pine tree. I'm not sure if the, because of all the needles that fall.
Right.
Is there anything that I can add to the soil this fall that will help it in the spring?
It's a good idea. It's a good question. It's a very good question.
It's a great question. And the needles do change the pH level underneath it. And so there's two things that has to happen with the pine tree to grow the grass. You need to cut the branches up a little bit to try and get some sunlight. To get as close to the trunk as possible. That, of course, changes the look of the tree if it's a, you know, like a Christmas tree looking pine that goes to the ground. From there, you're going to rake up all those needles, and then you're going to add lime to the perimeter underneath the tree, under the canopy, every place where it stretches out, and a little bit past, maybe 2-3 feet. Change the pH of the soil, and I would do that now. And then in the spring, I'd hit it again and then use a shade mix grass seed, and I bet you'll get grass to grow.
We always have Lou on Friday morning, so you can get a early admit. It's like a pre-grand opening of his big show on Saturday.
Right. It's and for friends and family.
That's it. That's it. You have to know somebody to get in.
Right.
Meanwhile, Bob won himself an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. If you haven't already called any of these companies, but specifically American Weathermakers, and said, hey, could you come check out my furnace for the winter and make sure I'm good to go? That's probably a good idea, isn't it?
Oh, it's a great idea. And it's now is the time, really. You know, people always ask me when you should have this done. And when the weather is milder, like it is now, I mean, it's cooling off, but it's not extreme yet. The HVAC companies out there, like American Weathermakers, they have the bandwidth now to be able to send the folks out. It's the best $100, you know, on average that you're going to spend. And they're going to make sure that it's working at peak efficiency, that it's operating safely. And it's going to really help. I mean, look, it's not nothing helps you avoid a breakdown, but it really does hinder it if you take care of your furnace and they're checking stuff out. You'll go all through the winter and have the peace of mind that it's all going
to
work.
Texter says, does the floor have to be completely level to lay down imitation hardwood floor interlocking pieces?
Well, I mean, it should be as flat and level as possible, because if you've got humps in that floor, whatever you put over the top of it's going to follow that. And then with floating floors, the problem is when you have that separation, then you get a little sound and movement in the floor, which eventually can help it to separate.
Should you have humps in your floor?
You should not.
Okay.
No.
Lou, there's a company my lovely floor humps. Lou, there was a company in Frankfurt that picked up and replaced snow blowers. I don't remember what it was. Do you?
Ooh, in Frankfurt? No. I mean, there's most of the small engine repair companies do offer a pickup and delivery service, but I'm unfamiliar with the dealer in Frankfurt.
Good time to buy a snowblower, or have you guys cranked the prices up?
No, now's a great time. I mean, look, quite frankly, last winter, I mean, people have a short memory, but it was so mild that you can actually probably get a really good deal now, because there's a lot of inventory left over from last year, which is still current and good. It's not. There's nothing wrong with it. The units, it's not like a car.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting there. And so you'll find some really good deals right now, whether it's a hardware store or home center or a garden center. So if you're in the market for one, actually now would be the time. And snowblowers, you got to remember, if we get a couple snow events, you know, and all of a sudden people start buying them like crazy, they've already started to make lawnmowers. So once the supply that's created for the literally the country is done, it's done. So If so, you need one,
get one.
Sooner the better.
You know, I'm a marketing genius, as you know.
I know you are.
And you've got two Ace Hardware stores. And because you got two Ace Hardware stores, I like to give Lou ideas occasionally.
Oh, good.
Here's an idea for the weekend with the snow blowers that you're selling there at the Ace Hardware store. Buy one, get one free. No?
You know what we give
mention my name, buy one, get one free.
When we sell them, we usually give out a little like a watchman's cap
that says
Ace on it. A hat.
Well, just stay warm while you're blowing your snow.
Exactly.
And you always get free popcorn.
And you always, the popcorn's delicious.
Love the popcorn.
And calorie free.
So I guess we're not doing the buy one, get one free.
Hey, obviously when you're in the radio business, the ratings are important, right?
Sure, absolutely.
And it's also important about who's listening.
That's why it's really important that we always remember to thank the people that have supported this place.
But on their own, my two daughters, one who's in New York and one who's in Denver, they podcast and listen to the Steve Cochran Show.
Uh-huh.
Every morning.
Yeah, we should be able to measure them as well.
Isn't that nice?
Great.
Very nice.
You got an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old.
And they're lovely girls and thank you. Very successful. And
but they'll call me up and say, hey, Steve was talking about that. I'm like, who?
Last question. Girls, talk to your father.
Right.
Lou, painter spilled paint on my blue stone terrace. Help me.
Ooh, if it's latex paint... The company Goo Gone, which makes this all these different cleaners.
Is that the search people, Goo Gone?
They
this part where Lou just ignores me.
They make a latex paint.
And frankly, should.
Latex paint.
Difference right now, Heather.
You okay?
Yeah, there was some sort of rumble in the studio. I don't know what happened there.
Okay.
Goo Gone, they make a latex paint.
They make a latex paint remover. Spray it on there. It works for both wet and dry paint. Spray it on there. Use a plastic putty knife to scrape up the larger portion of it because blue stone's very soft. And then from there, just use a nylon bristle brush, scrub it off, and then a little dish soap to clean off the Goo Gone, and you're done.
It's Lou Manfredini. What are you talking about on TV?
You know what? They did this series this week about secrets of individual trades. Like they talked to a mechanic and they talked to a doctor, and they're going to talk to me about when you're hiring a contractor this morning, how you can...
the right questions to ask?
The right questions to ask, right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're more focused than you are here. You've really not been focused.
But now my son is texting me to tell you that he listens as he's driving to work live, not on the podcast.
Nice. So love your kids.
Yeah,
nice.
I know. It's like
my son, who's 27,
you got the whole
listens.
Manfredini clan. If I could get my 16-year-old to listen, but he likes to listen to Chance the Rapper every morning when he drives to school.
Well, Stephen Ennett should have a talk to him because Stephen's listening.
My son listens. He's 26. He's a millennial.
Yeah. So is mine. He's a millennial.
Got a lot of millennials listening to the show.
And it's got nothing to do with us being on the show either.
No, it's the exciting content.
That's true, right?
That's exactly right.
What it is?
Are you on tomorrow?
I am.
What time?
I start at 7.
We should write that down.
Yeah, from 7 to 10 on WGN. And we've got... what do we got tomorrow? We got a really good Noodaloo 2 tomorrow, and then which is a nice product for your home. I want to surprise you on that. And then we're talking with Chimney Sweep.
Cool. Like Bert.
Exciting.
Chimney.
Right. Like Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Dick Van Dyke. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not Dick Van Dyke.
No.
Do they all have to learn how to dance before they get the gig?
The Step in Time song is on the test.
It should be.
Right.
Have a delightful weekend.
You too.
Thank you, buddy.
Goodbye.
And hi to your kids. The Little Manfredinis.
That's cool they listen.
He's got a great family.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Great.
Lou, we don't like at all.
We like Lou.
But he's got a great family.
Yeah.
Lovely wife.
Beautiful.
But Lou, we don't like at all.
We do, too.
We like.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Of course we like Lou. Sponsored by American Weathermakers. That's your first call and your big stories next.
Happy anniversary.
We just had your 20-year anniversary situation the other day.
Yeah, situation.
We also missed Mary Vandeveld's 20, how many, Mary?
20.
20th anniversary.
Yeah. Labor Day.
And we missed Dave's birthday, anniversary, and various other milestones in his life.
Yes.
My retirement.
Yes.
My retirement.
Oh, my mic's out on my mic. Big announcement this
morning.
You're
on.
Whoa.
You're on. No, he's not retiring. He's just trying to fix his light.
Is Bridget Kaner here? Is she making an announcement?
But here's the deal. This isn't about Dave. This is about Mary. On Thursday nights, Mary.
About Dave too.
On Thursday nights, Mary likes to get sideways with some wine and also loves her popcorn. So from the show. this morning. Vanna, would you bring that over? Thank you.
Vanna. Oh, thank you, Vanna.
Vanna Sandberg, doing the delivery.
Ooh, carrot popcorn, my favorite.
Turn some letters on the way over, too, if you would, please.
Ooh, you better be sharing some of that.
And a giant tin of, is that a tin? Would you call that a tin?
This is a major tin.
A major tin.
It's a big tin.
A big old
tin.
Is she drinking out of an open bottle of wine? What is that?
Of Garrett's popcorn. Now, we don't have the wine.
I was going to say, where's the
it's
wine?
It's like a cup.
But we want to thank Garrett's popcorn for this giant tin. This tin of Garrett's popcorn, Mary, I don't want to mention a number here, but it cost $14,000.
Oh, I know.
That is sort of true. Like a small bag of the pop of the Chicago mix is like $17.
It's worth it.
It is.
Little
Absolutely.
Angels make that popcorn.
We
little
love
angels.
That. Who'd you make stand in line for the popcorn?
The Garrett's people delivered.
Oh, they delivered.
Yeah. They're very nice. Right. The Garrett's popcorn.
So sweet,
Garrett's popcorn.
That's so sweet.
Downtown, at the airport, and convenient locations. And inconvenient ones as well, and it's worth the effort. So next Thursday, we'd like you to enjoy that, and
lots of wine.
I don't know. I'll buy you some wine as well.
Oh, lots of wine.
She's got little bags for all of us.
Yeah, that's
to
awesome.
Scoop out
little bags if you want to share.
So
you don't have
cute.
To share.
It's you got
to
share.
No, because it's everybody's anniversary, really.
Well, yeah.
We encourage you to share, but you don't have to.
It's, you know,
ooh, like, every time
it's
I get ready to.
It's birthday, so I'll never, or on Sunday. So
and we're not supposed to mention that.
Oh, why not?
Oh, Steve wanted to low key that.
Oh, too bad. I got it on my calendar.
Is that the Chicago mix?
Hey, Steve, happy
birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, this is fantastic.
It's just a celebratory day.
Yes. Popcorn would have showed you cared.
You're getting a little baggy of it, Steve.
Apparently, some's
That's
coming your way.
That's all he's getting is a little baggy.
And your favorite morning show that you've worked with since you've been here for 20 years?
Well, let me think.
Steve Cochran Show. Steve Cochran
Show.
I can't believe it's taking this long.
Yeah. Well, you know,
how about your
Spike,
second favorite
Bob
morning
Collins.
Show?
Well, Spike.
Okay. Yeah, how about your third favorite morning
stop.
Show?
Stop. I'm not going to keep going. I think it's been about six.
Do you want her to say
Dave,
one
Dave, you would know.
You want her to say one that no, was no one's favorite? Or?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Did you work with Greg Jarrett?
I did.
Yeah,
I worked with Greg
did.
Jarrett. I worked
wow.
with...
we all did.
Congratulations
I know.
All of you.
Jonathan.
We should all get
a certain
Oh, you worked with Johnny B.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And a few others that just came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Came and went.
I can say unequivocally my favorite has been the Steve Cochran
oh,
show.
Oh, there we go.
Good call, Steve. Yeah. Well done by you. Give him more popcorn. It's anyway, happy anniversary, Mary.
Thank you very much, you
happy
guys.
Anniversary.
That's Dave, awesome. Dave, did you want to wish her a happy anniversary?
Happy anniversary, Mary.
Yeah, you too, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with Mary longer than any of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Congratulations to both
one
of you.
My day one.
Make an adorable couple.
But Dave left and then came back.
Oh, let's not bring that up.
Yeah, but I've been back. I was
no,
back
was
before
back
you
20.
Came back. Yes.
Yes,
he was
you've
back
been
the
back
whole
20.
20.
That's
yes,
exactly right.
Because he couldn't leave me.
So that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Mary, enjoy your popcorn.
I will.
We'll enjoy
and
it,
sure
too.
You give some to Steve because it's his birthday. Our friend Annabelle Val from WGN-TV has been, and the WGN Morning News has been doing a great job reporting from Puerto Rico. Checking up on her parents and her brother and her family and her friends where she grew up. Those reports continue on her Facebook page and also, of course, on WGN. What kind of week has it been for you, Anna?
I would say bittersweet. I have such satisfaction that I came and saw this with my own eyes and got to hug my parents and see the conditions my brother and sister-in-law are living in and travel to the mountain and see the little progress that is happening and the daunting task that will, that, you know, that is there to clean up, to reestablish power. But it is, I know it's hard to understand, but I am so happy I came.
Well, that's not hard to understand. I totally understand that.
Anna, your reports have been awesome. And it's funny because we hear you now. I go home. I see on the 6 o'clock news. I see on the 9 o'clock news. So it's like you don't even sleep. And they're so good because I know, you know, people, I guess, hopefully they realize that you're dealing with the situations that you've been telling us. There's not drinkable water. You're probably doing a lot of this with generators and backup generators. So, I mean, your resources have also been minimal as well.
Right. Technology has helped us, and that's why I can't go live from the mountains, which would be great because I could do more effective live shots. But we've focused on going there, gathering the information, and coming back to San Juan where the cell phone reception is better and then feed the reports from here. I know it's a lot of technical talk, but you tend to forget when you're in the metropolitan area that there is no power here or very little power or that the power that is here is generator produced. So you're walking around and you're like, it's all so beautiful and great. And then you try and go inside and the person from the shop says, I turned off my generator. I can sell you whatever I have left.
And that becomes part of their daily routine?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is how business is conducted now, even in the places that have recovered somewhat, which would describe, I guess, most of San Juan now. But as you said the other day, you don't have to go too far outside of San Juan to see that people have gotten almost nothing.
There are business streets here. I wouldn't compare them to Michigan Avenue, but there are furniture stores, there are boutiques, there are restaurants that are pleading to get power back because they cannot afford to run a generator that can cost hundreds of dollars daily when clients aren't coming, right? It's a vicious cycle. It's a pathetic cycle. If people don't have jobs, if people don't have power to go to jobs or to have a good night's sleep and they can't go to work, they can't go to a store and shop. The last blackout that happened for the lucky few that had power back here in San Juan, that was, I think, Wednesday. That left the mall, which had become the center where everyone was charging phones and even blow-drying their hair and catching a little bit of air conditioning. That went dark.
Boy. Anna, have they given any indication? I know, we don't want this to turn into a Haiti situation where they're still dealing with their disaster from many years back. Are there still volunteers and they're still trying to get everything back up as quickly as possible? Are you given any indication that you might be able to, I don't know, maybe in 6 months go to the mountains and get a Wi-Fi signal like you used to be able to?
I think so. In 6 months, yeah. Okay. I was getting a little bit of signal on the mountain towns that are closer to the metropolitan area. The coffee crop is gone, and I did a story on how important that industry had become for Puerto Rico. Tourism is really affected, but they're working as hard as they can to bring it back because our beauty is still here. Nature has gotten back to work and is replenishing. But, we're from Chicago, right. And, people are like, well, you had a corrupt, inept government. Hello?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
This is what shocks me, Steve, that it's like, screw them. Let them survive however they want because their government is awful.
Listen.
Governors in jail?
Yeah, if that's the standard we're using, then all of us should turn our lights off and unplug everything right now. So here's the deal. Going forward, the people of the island of Puerto Rico still need everything. So we don't want people to think just because San Juan is doing much better that everything is back to normal. They're far from normal, and that's the best case scenario where Anna's been able to catch up with her parents. So what do you want people to do? Do they still go to Mano a Mano?
They go to Mano a Mano. They go to the different GoFundMe. I can't even say it. GoFundMes, or however you say that.
Yeah, the GoFundMe pages.
Spanish all week. Yeah. And support local entities that you're comfortable with. Here's the thing. We've transitioned from food and water in many cases because FEMA and a lot of the organizations have done a decent job after 2 months of people telling me in the mountaintops, we're okay with food. Now they need to rebuild. Now they need stuff for daily life, baby clothes, sheets, mattresses. But here's the problem. We're all very aware that we're an island in the middle of a very big ocean, and it is very difficult to mail us things. Unfortunately, the U.S. Postal Service is not the sharpest tool in the shed. With all due respect to our postal servicemen who are amazing, but it is difficult to mail things here. So they're trying to get the economy going again. And like mano a mano, hand to hand for Puerto Rico, they're trying to use the money that you sent here locally. Keep adopting your Puerto Rican friends and family. Keep sending them care packages, even if they don't arrive fast enough. Pack them smartly. Do not overpack the boxes because the U.S. Postal Service cannot handle it. And some of these U.S. Postal Service, some of these post offices have no power and one guy working them. So by the time he gets out the 400 boxes that we send out from Chicago, people are suffering. So it's just like a domino effect. So, yes, I would say money to the different places. Come visit as soon as they give you the okay to come visit. Trust me, I had Puerto Rican people from Chicago asking me how the streets are in the mountaintops. I went to our coffee belt, which is deep in the mountains, and I went to Comerío, which is East Central, and I went to Gurabo, which is more metropolitan. I didn't have a problem driving through those streets. They're always narrow. Our two-way streets are the size of an alley mm-hmm. in the mountains, mm-hmm. but the debris is to the sides now, so it's not as awful as it was. So if you want to come check on family members, you don't understand what I hear from, you know, friends and families. I don't think we can comprehend living 57 days, at least 57 days, with no power at night.
No, that's the thing. There are 3 million people in the city of Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. You don't even have to go out far outside the suburbs. Everybody unplug your power right now and do it for two months.
And at night, you know, because during the day you get a false sense that everything is fine.
I know.
But at night, you're like, oh my goodness, this is pitch black, and I can't read a book. I can't, you know. There's only so much you can do.
And then rodents, safety concerns, and the whole deal. Listen, I know you got to jump back on TV. I just want to tell you, we're proud of the work you're doing, and you ought to be as well. And our best to your family there, and just get home safe.
I know, and I want to thank you guys, and you have been with me from the beginning, and you guys have been checking up on me personally and professionally, and I can't thank you. I thank Jen Lyons and Greg Easterly and my whole team in the newsroom for letting me tell this story. You know, I follow a lot of Puerto Rican media outlets, so I'm constantly informed. But unfortunately, because the move cycle, you know, turns its head wherever the curtains are happening, we're kind of disappearing. So I appreciate
it. Well, that's good. That's good. Now,
your reports have been awesome.
Yeah, and I'm sure Greg appreciates it, but I know what you meant to say was Paul Rennie.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Listen, you're tired. You got a lot going on. I've just got your back here. Paul Rennie and the whole crew, Paul and Jen, who sent you down there, of course. Listen, get on
Paul
TV.
Is the best, actually, I like them better than Greg Easterly, honestly. I haven't been drinking, but he has been checking up on me and our general manager to send you a note to see how you're
it's
doing.
It's pretty great.
He knows you're under stress. Yeah, Easterly would have never done that. Yeah, I love the record
page. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye, Anna.
My contract's up in the summer.
He still loves you. Relax. 7:02.
Yeah, it's been great knowing her. No, she's the best. Seriously,
this is hilarious.
She'll do reports for us. She's on it at 4, 6, and 9 p.m. So
doing
it's
a great
nonstop.
Job. She's doing a phenomenal job. All right, Coach Fitz coming up in just a few minutes. News next, 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
7:14, preview of the weekend. Northwestern football. Man, are they on a run. Sponsored by, Dave?
Sponsored by the Fields Auto Group.
What time are you on tomorrow?
10:30, we hit the air.
Okay. Playing?
The Minnesota Golden Gophers kick off at 11 o'clock at Ryan Field.
Coach Fitz joins us now. Coach, congratulations on this stretch. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Just got fired up listening to Steve's weather report. Here we go. This is going to be a fun one.
Football weather.
Yeah.
You know, you have so many friends who coach in the Big Ten. Is it fun to beat them? It's got to be, right? These are your pals. It's fun to pound on them.
Oh, yeah, you just want to win by one. You know, family-wise, friend-wise, you always want to win when you compete against them. So it's really no different than anything when you're growing up. But yeah, it's you know, it's a great league. There's a lot of collegiality between us as coaches and a lot of respect amongst our teams, and that won't change this weekend.
All right, top concern on offense.
Well, tomorrow, especially with the weather, the ball. I mean, we got to take care of the football. It's going to be critically important. Whoever wins the turnover battle tomorrow probably ends up winning the game, so that's going to be really important.
And top concern on defense.
Well, you know, on offense, you usually have the advantage when it's an inclement weather game.
Right.
So
for us,
we're going to need to make sure that we stay on our feet. We get great population near the ball, and then when they do throw the ball, we got to keep it inside and in front. We cannot allow the ball to get behind us.
Well, it's senior day tomorrow. You've been through 11 of these as a head coach. Tends to be an emotional day as you watch these guys play their last game at Ryan Field. Do you get emotional about it?
Yeah, you know, I definitely do, Dave. We talked on Monday about it, and even talked again yesterday about, you know, playing the right way for our seniors. And, you know, I'll talk about that again tomorrow pregame. You know, this is their last opportunity in Ryan Field, and everybody's got a story, you know, and to see this great group has been just absolutely spectacular from the first time we had a relationship starting conversation to, you know, where we're at right now on the verge of our eighth win in their senior year. So just so thankful for our seniors and for their families. And hopefully we go out and give them our best effort tomorrow.
And Steve, one of the things that I think Northwestern does really well in this regard, and I think probably most schools do, but you have guys that will be introduced tomorrow before the game. They'll go out on the field. Their family, their parents will be there. But it's not – it's all of your seniors, including guys who maybe are not familiar names to the fans, maybe rarely, if ever, saw the field during a game, but they're still getting that senior day treatment. So I'm sure that has to mean a lot for them, has to be a big moment for them as much as for your biggest stars.
Yeah, tomorrow, you know, is actually more for our families than it is for the guys. You know, they've got to go out, snap the picture. They really don't want to do it. They just want to go play football.
Right.
But for our families, it's just a small token of appreciation. And then tomorrow night, we'll have a great reception here at the house for the families and for our seniors. About 8 years ago, when leadership council, I said, all right, guys, you want a banquet or do you want a tailgate party at the house after the last game? And it was unanimous, no banquet. So
right.
We've had a lot of fun the last 8 years doing this, and it's always that much sweeter with the win. So hopefully we'll again go play great and you know, lift these guys up as we you know, perform tomorrow mid-morning and tomorrow afternoon.
Well, you know, the great thing about sports is it brings people together in ways that other things can't. The camaraderie, and what do you hear guys say all the time after they retire? Mm-hmm. Do I miss the game? Well, maybe not as much as I miss the guys. I miss being around the team. I miss the team thing. And something as simple as tomorrow, when these guys grow up and they're going to be able to show their families this photo. It may not mean as much tomorrow, Coach, but you know how much it'll mean down the road.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, the great thing is we've got, you know, two more after this. So this is not their last, per se, but at the same time, it definitely is their last in Ryan Field. So appreciate our fans' support. You know, make sure you dress warm and have your rain gear on tomorrow. And let's send these young men and their families, you know, out of Ryan Field as winners and out the right way.
Last word, Dave.
Chance to win six in a row tomorrow, and the last time the Wildcats won six straight Big Ten conference games, the guy we're talking to right now was playing for them.
It's
pretty cool to have a hand in two streaks of that length, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's a great honor. I remember the one why we lost a streak back when I was playing. I'm not going to talk about that, but you talk about certain games that still make you mad. That one makes me mad. But, this is a credit to our guys. They've played great. They've worked hard. And hopefully we can go out and keep this thing rolling.
Coach, have a great time tomorrow. Wear your rain slickers.
Yeah, I definitely will. And to all of our great Cat fans throughout Chicagoland, happy Thanksgiving week and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Go Cats.
Thanks, buddy. Go Cats. Bye-bye.
There you go.
You said it first.
It's the first time
I've never heard that.
I think it's the first time I ever beat him to a Go Cats. What a monumental moment.
Hopefully he didn't hear. He'll be kicking himself.
That already makes my weekend.
Mm. No, he got his in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he's proud of you.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes. 7:20, we'll come back. I'm told we're going to get a call from the president.
Wow.
Oh.
We'll see.
He's going to put the phone down to tweet and actually call you.
That's what I'm hearing.
Wow.
Sponsored by
the Fields Auto Group.
And thank them for that. 7:20, Traffic Barry.
And
Go Cats.
I never ran for office, and here I am, but I never ran. So I wasn't very experienced. And after I had won, everybody was calling me from all over the world. I never knew we had so many countries.
Do I ever want to pick this phone up?
I think you should. It'll be entertaining.
President's on the phone. And after yesterday, the Al Franken news came out, and he hasn't talked about the Roy Moore thing at all, but he tweeted about Al Franken. We can get more into it later, but let me just start there. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Cochran.
I've got to say that after all the things that have been said in regards to your past, it seems pretty hypocritical that you would come out now, not say anything about Roy Moore, but talk about Al Franken. I mean, isn't that hypocritical?
Loser says what?
All right, so I mentioned...
Hold on a second, Cochran. I need a swig of water here. Hold on. Very parched.
Did you go with a two-hand baby grab?
two-hand baby grab. You got to be safe.
Okay. Are you glad you're back from Asia?
You know, despite the fact they're serving subpoenas around here for breakfast, yes. Thank you. Very yes. successful trip. Yes. The most successful trip of any president of any time. Lots of deals with China. Lots of heartburn from General Tso's chicken. Frankly, if I was any more glad to be back, I'd be a suspended power forward from UCLA.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, let me put it this way. It's nice to finally be able to avoid my wife on American soil again.
Listen, talking about your trip, we saw you spent some time talking to Vladimir Putin for the last time. Everybody else is on board. You have to believe they battled in the 2016 election.
Now, look, it's very uncomfortable to admit that, especially when you're face-to-face with Putin, okay? It's like when I'm face-to-face with Melania. I tell her she has the most gorgeous legs I've ever seen. When I'm with Ivanka, I tell her she has the most gorgeous legs I've ever seen. And when I'm with my daughter Tiffany, I'm usually asking where Ivanka is. But seriously, do I believe they meddled? Here's what I believe. I believe that Putin believes that we believe him and whether he believes that we're believing and what's to be believed about the election. Believe me.
Well, that clears it up. Listen, your Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, just a couple of days ago, gets grilled by Congress. They ask him all the questions, and they're saying his answers are changing again. Did you watch it from afar? How did you think he did? What have you heard?
I did watch. And, you know, Jeff Sessions is a smart guy. He's a smart guy. Even if he looks like a claymation elf from the Rudolph TV special. I think we're going to stick him in the White House lobby as part of a Christmas display next week. So, seriously, even though he has the memory of a goldfish, Jeff Sessions did an amazing job. He must have said the phrase, "I don't recall," more times than Roy Moore loitered outside a Forever 21 store at the mall.
Wow. Well, that's what'll get you kicked out. Listen, we got to talk about Don Jr., little Donnie. He corresponded with WikiLeaks at the same times that WikiLeaks released those hacked Podesta Clinton campaign emails. At the same time that you're tweeting about it, I mean, the whole thing seems really coordinated.
Coordinated? Have you seen Don Jr.? I mean, there's nothing coordinated about him. Horrible shirt and tie combinations. He can't chew gum and tweet at the same time. I mean, look, Donnie's a good boy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not like he did something really horrible like kneel during the national anthem.
Yeah. Your scorecard is really interesting to me. Now, Mr. President, tell me this. When you call the leaders of our intelligence community political hacks, did you even know what you were saying?
That's exactly what you think I meant, Cochran. They're Bush League rookies. Rookies. Very pathetic. I mean, if they're so smart, why are they going after this George Papadopoulos loser? Papadopoulos sounds like an off-brand Greek yogurt. I mean, let's be honest. Why would I send him to talk to the Russians when I've got sweet baby-faced Jared Kushner to talk to them? He's a real nice piece of eye candy. Am I right, Mary?
Well, listen, talking about Jared, earlier this week, it was reported that he told a Time Warner executive, the company that owns CNN, fire 20% of your staff because of the unfavorable media coverage.
Wrong. Fake news. Okay, I specifically told Jared to tell them to fire 50% of their staff, not 20%. They can't even get their facts straight. Let alone the fact that Wolf Blitzer looks like the love child of an Ewok and a very heavily used Brillo pad. Believe me.
You know what? That's the one thing you and I can agree on. Now, last question. As North Korea, any response at all from your tweet to Kim Jong-un when you called him short and fat?
Nope, not a peep. You know, Kim Jong-un, he's an absolute wreck. He's a wreck. He's a total mess. I call him the Hillary Clinton of North Korea. Because he's always in a pantsuit, and he hasn't had sex with Bill Clinton in the last 3 decades. Believe me.
It's just outrageous. I don't know why I picked up the phone. Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. See, I shouldn't have picked up the phone.
No,
I mean, in the end,
no.
I should not have picked up the phone.
Oh.
But you see that the president's on the phone. You think, pick up the phone. I shouldn't have picked up the phone.
Aren't you glad you did, though?
Not so much. All right, stand by. Coming up, Dan Hampton on your Chicago Bears. Dee Snider is in town. Dee's going to drop by. And see us. A couple of members of the cast of Newsies later going to sing a duet here in studio. Tom Skilling after 9. We dodged a bullet with this big storm that was supposed to hit tomorrow, but it looks like winter might be here. Mm-hmm. So we'll get a customized forecast from Tom and check in on him. It's all coming up. Big story next. What are you talking about?
Al Franken, more fallout, more tweeting.
It's next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
We're talking John Fox, the bumbling, dumbling fool
actually challenged to play.
It's greedy.
That decide, oh, I want a touchdown, even though it'll be first and goal on the 1 yard line.
Gets nobody gets a pass today.
But here's
nobody.
The
deal. Not one. Don't
go to red flag. You're on the bumble.
Right.
Mark, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
You got a yard to go with four downs, and you're going to lose something, that something might happen.
No question.
And you have to know this as a head coach.
All I can say is the great Pete Mancini of Parrot Petroleum, you've got a big job on your hands, Pete. Find a lubricant that can dislodge this bumbling fox. Get him out of here.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows.
And by the way, that's after they've been fed. All right, there's your review of last week. Here's your preview of this week. Good morning, Kip.
You know, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, as we enter the Thanksgiving week, we, by the way, our beloved Bears have to go to Philadelphia and play the best team in pro football.
Mm-hmm.
3 days after Thanksgiving. But all that being said, we have lots to be thankful for. I'm just glad that we get a week in between having to scream about the bumbling fox week after week. You know, we don't have to do it every day, but we get a week off between the
duties. Were you surprised that Fox still has a job, or did you expect that they wouldn't move on him?
You know, quite honestly, you know, the old saying, sometimes people get what they deserve, and sometimes it's much worse than that. Well, I don't know. I don't understand how this franchise thinks it can improve or get better or move forward in the same ridiculous, you know, cycle of John Fox and his ineptitude. But you know, I don't own a franchise. I don't have that position where I would have the ability to fire him. Obviously, you know how the three of us on the post game show, Phil. But
actually, no, I'm not clear. I didn't quite get a sense of where you guys were at.
Yeah, well, but you know, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can know anything about football and not understand this is a cycle of defeat week after week after week that we are just unable to escape with the current leadership. And you know, I remember when Ditka came, there was a couple of things that, you know, were pretty obvious. It was going to be exciting. So buckle up. Now, whether or not we get to the Super Bowl, we're going to find out. But by gosh, it's going to be must-watch, and it's going to be a ride of a lifetime. You don't get any feeling like that with, you know, with this whole Fox regime. And I mentioned Philadelphia. We got to go see those guys in a week. Last year, we opened the season down in Houston, and Jay Cutler breaks his thumb. We get beat by the Houston Texans. Well, we come back, and I remember OB screaming, this is a must-win. We're playing at home on Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback. And Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz came in here, and they beat our brains out. And I said in the postgame, there is something special happening here, and I'm just telling you, nobody will be wanting to play these dudes once they kind of figure out what they got going. And guess what? A year later, they're 8-1, best team in football, and that's what you would hope. That's if you own the franchise, that is what you're looking to build,
yeah,
to capture. And we've kind of got it with a young, dynamic quarterback. But by gosh, we're on the wrong solar system with this Coach Fox.
Well, there's expectations, right? I mean, when you look at Coach Q and what's happened with the Hawks, you have an expectation that they're going to win. When you look at Fitz at Northwestern, you have an expectation that Northwestern is going to win. You don't have that expectation as a fan, a sense of confidence when you look at the Chicago Bears. And it doesn't appear to be a personnel problem. Dave, say hi to Hamp.
Hey, Hamp, I have a question for you, which I'm sure a lot of Bears fans are pondering this morning after watching that game last night. How did the Bears beat the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, if you remember, there was a whole – Pittsburgh was a team in torment about that kneeling, not kneeling, you know, pregame anthem nonsense. And see, that is a great illustration. I hadn't thought about this, but you know what? Preparation and motivation. Everybody's got good players. All the offensive linemen are 6'4", 320 pounds. All the corners are 6', 190. You know, I mean, it's not like everybody's different. No, everybody's got good players. Now, it's about how you focus, how you and your game play, all those things. And it was obvious that Pittsburgh is one of the best elite teams in football. And yet, they, in a Fox-like fashion, were unprepared and unmotivated, just like we saw last week. But somehow, some way, Mike Tomlin, who is one of my favorite coaches, he has a way of cutting through the nonsense and having a certain thing called accountability. And you know what? Pittsburgh has responded. Now, they haven't been world beaters week after week, but they know what they're doing. They win football games. And at the end of the day, you know, we have no answers. And that is what you look for in a coaching staff. The coaches have to give you a plan. And the motivational aspects of it. And at some point, you would think that George McCaskey, under, you know, maybe a text from his mother, Virginia, would realize he has a franchise to save. Let's do what has to be done. Get rid of Fox, appoint Vic Fangio for the last 7 games, and see if we can't kickstart this thing in the right direction.
We'll talk specifically about the Bears in Detroit next. First, Mary with the traffic. Camp, of course, is always brought to you by our friend Chevy. Our friends at Chevy, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Back with the Hall of Famer. Let's talk specifically now with Dan Hampton about Detroit and the Bears. Dave, what's keeping you up about the Detroit Lions? Because I know you worry about this.
Oh, I would. Well, I think you don't need to look much further than the quarterback, and we've watched him over the years, and certainly some ups and downs earlier in his career, but you look at what he's done. Look at what he did 2 games ago, Hamp, against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau, throwing for over 400 yards, and he's got to be one of the best in the NFC.
No, right now he's the highest paid player in the game.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah, well, Detroit recognizes talent, but, mm-hmm. you know, obviously they are a hit-and-miss kind of a football team. You know, you never know what you're going to get. They seem to play like an NBA team where they kind of flop around the first half, and then they try to beat you in the second half. And they I think last year they had 9 fourth-quarter comebacks for victories or some ridiculous stat. But, you know, what I'm concerned about is we need to beat somebody. We need, you know, respectability, you know, starts on a weekly basis. And last week was such an abysmal failure. You know, the Packers played on Monday night to this Detroit Lions team and got their teeth beat out. And so short week, having to travel, and we had a bye week. And, you know, 4-week starts for, you know, of Trubisky to be reviewed and to clean up and you know, sharpen up, and everybody is all – and we come out and we don't hit a lick. And we let the Packers with a backup quarterback and essentially a third-tier running back control the game, dictate to us how the game was going to be played. So all those things, again, you go back and it's, you know – it's reinventing losing. Those are the things when if you go to a coaching seminar, they'll say, okay, if you don't want to stay where you're at very long, this is what you need to do. Well, Fox could teach that because it's exactly what he does on a weekly basis.
It's Dan Hampton. We got to go to the picks here. And let's go to Dave first. We got Detroit and you got the Bears. What do you like?
All right. So Hamp just, I think, made a very key statement, which is, you never know what you're getting with Detroit. And we've seen them, Hamp, over the years come in here sometimes, and you think they're the team that should be rolling, and they just kind of stumble along, and shoot themselves in the foot. It's just a hunch, Steve and Dan. It's just a gut feeling. I picked the Bears last week. I was bitterly disappointed. I think the Bears somehow, they're going to catch the Lions on Sunday. 21-17. Well, I don't know why.
It's just a hunch.
I just think that the Lions will underachieve.
I hope you're right. I can't pick the Bears. I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it.
I totally get that.
It's going to be a cold weekend, and it's going to be hot in the studio, and after the boys are fed, I worry about what could happen post-game. I've got the Lions 17-10.
All right. Look, and again, week after week, we desperately want the Bears to win. We pull for the Bears to win. But after last week, how can you trust them? I can't trust them. I got to see it. Well, I'm going to go with the Detroit 27-25. But, you know, 2 years ago, Detroit came in here, and I think it was Willie Young broke his finger on Matthew Stafford and kind of put their whole season into a tailspin. Well, you never know. But I'm going to go with Detroit until the Bears prove me wrong. So let's hope they do.
All right. And what time are you guys on Sunday?
Well, we're in the process of a three-hour, saving the franchise program. Starts immediately following the game at 3 o'clock. We'll go till 6. And let's hope we have a lot better results to talk about this week.
Amen. Thanks. The Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. And if I don't get a chance to say it to you, happy Thanksgiving.
He said, happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, Steve.
He signed it back to me.
Thanksgiving, Steve. Yeah,
right back at you.
Sorry, I couldn't reach a phone. the entire festival of Hamp there brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Dee Snider will join Dean and me and you.
Yes.
Coming up here in just a little bit. And the news is next at 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
Hey, granted, Dee Snider re-recorded that for you, Dean.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
D is here in studio with us, and it was on Channel 9 earlier this morning, and he's wearing a jacket which has been registered as a weapon. What is that thing?
It is a jacket that's been registered as a weapon, actually. How'd you know that? Yes, it's a spiky jacket.
Did you get that? Did you do a walk on a Game of Thrones, or what happened?
I lost a bet.
Didn't stop me from hugging him.
Well, winter's coming, guys, so yeah. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready with the spikes and everything.
Yeah, right. D told us it's his don't touch me jacket.
Don't touch me there jacket.
I found a way around that.
Yes. Yeah, the long.
Yeah, it only covers the upper part of my body.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. okay, D. Snyder's here because, what is this, a horror convention going on?
Yeah. Days of the Dead. It's horror, wrestling, rock and roll in Schaumburg at the Marriott. And, thousands of people come out to meet their heroes and stars, and it's great because I get to see my friends from all the horror movies.
Yeah, who are you going to see?
Linda Blair is there. And Kane Hodder, who played Jason Voorhees in most of the Friday the 13th movies, and Sid Haig, who did a lot of those Rob Zombie horror movies, and just all these people, a lot of wrestling guys are there, and it's fun. Who was that? Daphne, what's Daphne's last name? I'm asking you, Matt. Zuniga.
She's
now my new hero.
She's great.
Apparently, she was accosted at the airport yesterday by autograph. People, these pros show up. Yeah. So it's a convention, and you're coming here to sign autographs, take pictures. And these people know you're coming in, and they wait for you at the airport with, like, pick guards and things like that.
Yeah.
And she's, like, 5 foot nothing, and she said, I'm not signing nothing. And someone made some comment about, well, you're washed up anyway or something. Apparently, she threw down, got in this woman's face, and she was ready to rock. Matt basically pulled her off of her. So I love you, Daphne. Yeah. If I wasn't married, I'd consider marrying you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, and there is a time and a place, but especially if you know these are professional autograph hounds who are just looking for a resale.
Oh, yeah, when you got a stack of pick guards.
Right.
Not attached to a guitar. Mm-hmm. So basically, they just go there and they just start handing you pick guards. It's like, sign in the blue pen, please. And they go home and they screw them on some cheapy guitar. and say a Dee Snider guitar or whoever, right, you know. Right, so right.
That's so frustrating because these fans, especially the horror fans, they're there. They wait in the lines. They want to see you guys. They don't
And that's it. It's insulting. They're sort of bypassing, quote unquote, the system. But they also, they're not cherishing it or holding on to it or appreciating it. It's not because they're a fan. They just think they can make a few dollars off of you.
Dean, it's completely opposite about how you and I handle autographs. We go, hey, you want an autograph?
I actually pay people. I go up to people and give them money if they will take an autograph.
It's not really an economic business model that works.
I'm making the picture of me and Dee my screensaver. So that's a completely different.
Yeah, it's completely different, right. And it's a professional operation in a different way.
Right.
When is the convention? All weekend?
All weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But the secret to these conventions is that Friday and Sunday is the move. Because the crowds are, like, tomorrow will be a madhouse. And some people like that. There's an energy to that.
Yeah.
But if you want to have a little more, like, quality time with your heroes, the Friday and Sunday, that's when you come down and the lines are shorter and the guys can spend a couple minutes talking to you. It's a good time to come.
You know Gene Simmons from Kiss?
Oh, yes, I do. I mean, do I know him?
I'm setting you up, dude.
Certainly know him. Yes, I just came back. I just did a show in Bolivia, La Paz, Bolivia with him.
Yeah. Well, here's the reason I bring it
go
up.
Go ahead. He fried my brain. Go ahead.
He's in the news today. Oh. Dean, what did he do?
He got banned from all Fox stations because he was acting inappropriately at Fox Business. He was harassing the staff. He was going up to women going, hey, chicks, why don't you sue me? And then he would open up his red velvet shirt, exposing his chest and stomach, like purposely
coming this close to
sexual harassment. Joking about the hilarious subject of pedophilia, you know, like that. So he's not allowed in Fox stations.
We did a press conference down there in Bolivia, and like a 20-something news reporter said, can you show us your famous tongue? And he said, come to my room later on, and I'll show you my tongue. Oh. He's 68. Yeah, because the girl had to be younger than his daughter. It was so creepy.
Not the time. Never. I don't get, you know.
When is the time exactly?
Never. Right. Yeah.
How have you, survived, especially in your genre of a rock, you know, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle that really does go on? You've flourished in it. You've made smart business decisions.
He wears jackets with spikes on them.
Yeah, that's for starters. The key to my success is blinders.
I think the key to
I wear blinders going in and out of the arenas. This way I didn't see any of the girls offering me anything.
Right, I see.
Well, the key to success is that you love your wife and you're afraid of her. Those two things.
Fear is a great... Her family threatened to kill me on the first date, and they're in the mob. Take it very seriously.
And she's awesome.
How long have you been married?
We've been married 36 years, together 41.
Yeah. That doesn't happen. Does not happen.
No.
I think that's you know, I've always said this. Anybody can have a first marriage. A second marriage, you got to really give yourself a look. Anything after three, it's you. Yeah, it's you. You're the problem.
What's the common denominator?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Gary Oldman, the one of the better actors. He's been married five times, and I think he just announced number five, or is it six?
That's Larry King.
He's taking applications for six now.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Dean, when we come
back. He's
not
even divorced from number five yet.
Right.
Dean, we come back. I want to talk about the new movies for the weekend and more of Dee Snider. He's going to be in Chicago this weekend. Well, he's here now. He's in Chicago this weekend for the horror convention. Where is it again, Dee?
It's at the Marriott in Schaumburg, which is a little bit out of town, but you should definitely come out and say hi. And I just I got a love affair with this town. You know, 2 years ago, you treated me so well. Every time I come back, I feel like I'm returning home. Honestly, it's awesome.
We already claim you as one of Chicago's very own. We want your show back, too.
Yeah, well, he's working on a little special project. He can't tell us about it because he'd have to kill us. It's 8:19, traffic with Mary Furson back on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This youngster's got a future in show business. Dee Snider.
Catchy tune.
It's snappy. The kids are dancing to it.
Snappy, yes.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Dean Snyder live in studio. All right, let's go through a couple of movies for the weekend, Dean. This Justice League movie. Dee, are you a fan of these comic book movies?
Yeah, I'm an original fanboy comic geek guy, you know. Sure.
And what do you think, Dee?
I was a Marvel guy, not a DC guy. And as a rule, DC's been their movies have not been quite as strong. Wonder Woman was amazing. Yeah. I'm curious as to what it's going to be like. Dean, what do you think?
I liked this Justice League movie. It's very different from the Marvel movies, especially this Thor movie that just came out that's pretty much a comedy. They have the comedies layered on so heavy. But, you know, you got a Batman, you got a Wonder Woman, you got an Aquaman, you've got a Cyborg, you've got the Flash, and your Man of Steel is in this movie. That's not a spoiler at all because he's been in the commercials, he's been doing interviews, Henry Cavill. But Superman is back in this movie. I won't say in what capacity, but plenty of great action, you know, good story. It's good guy, bad guy, you know, kind of fighting. Good characters to be interested in, good performances. I like this, but, you know, it's not getting great reviews from
some
people because they're comparing it to other movies. They're not doing the review.
Like what, Gone with the Wind?
No, they're basing it on, you know, how does it compare against the Avengers? How does it compare against Batman versus Superman? And I say review the movie on the movie. Don't base your review on, you know, how does it stack up against something else. I was perfectly entertained with this movie. I really liked it. I gave it a Dean's List B+.
Solid.
The Star, an animated nativity movie.
You haven't really seen the story of the nativity scene, Stephen.
This is another one. I don't think we need to remake it. I'm pretty sure we know how it ends.
Do you know that there are talking donkeys in this movie? Oprah as a talking camel. Do I have to say any more than that?
Yeah, and
well, they got my $750 or whatever it is.
$750. When was the last time you paid for a movie?
He hasn't been to a movie since.
No, honestly, I don't look. I just don't look. Hand him the credit card. Don't look.
It's got it's $13, $14, $15.
Is it? Okay, yeah,
depending on where you go.
It's a nice enough you know, story of the nativity. Nice. It's a nice family movie. I gave it a C+. It's nothing groundbreaking, but it, you know, it's fine. And Oprah is a talking camel, and I just like that.
Did they consider calling it that initially? Just
Oprah is a talking camel.
Oprah the talking camel.
Yeah, I don't know, they missed a great marketing opportunity.
And then this movie, Wonder, is this based on a true story?
It's based not on a true story, but on a New York Times bestselling novel that came out about a little boy who has spent the first 10 years of his life in and out of hospitals. Something like 29 surgeries that he's had because his face looks different than most kids' faces. And he's pretty much been a prisoner in his own home. He just did not want to go outside for most of that time. But his parents decide it's time for him to go to public school. And this story is about him taking his first steps into the outside world, going to school, facing the cruelties that you know, kids face when they go to grade school, whether you're too tall, too short, too skinny, too fat, too whatever. He deals with all of this and also makes some great friendships. It's a really.
So it's about acceptance.
It's about acceptance. It's about being kind to other people, really.
That's great.
Is the bottom line.
It's not. There's no basis in truth at all. They just made this story up out of their head.
I mean, there are stories like this, but it's not based on one particular person's case. I think it's more, you know, sort of a prototype of the stories that a lot of people go through, but based on this best-selling novel. Julia Roberts is the mom. Owen Wilson's the dad. The little boy who was in the movie Room, remember little Jacob Tremblay?
Oh, yeah.
Who stole everyone's hearts. He is the little boy in this movie, and it's great. I gave this one a Dean's List B.
Like, this kid, really like this kid better make a comedy soon,
yeah,
or he's going to be in therapy for the rest of his life.
Right. In L.A.
Right.
Amazing. And you're on the radio Sunday?
I am. We're going to run the full interview that we did the other day with Jimmy Buffett when he was in town for his new musical. There needs to be a Dee Snyder musical.
Yeah.
Isn't there? Now that I'm thinking, we've got, you know.
Oh, we had our Christmas musical. Well, can you talk about what you're doing with that?
Yeah, sure. I've been approached to turn it into a movie. So I'm actually working on the screenplay, rewriting it for cinema because, you know, apples
and oranges. Look.
Yeah, it's a different look. John, good old John Yano for Sends His Love, my producer.
Oh, we love that.
We're looking at some licensing opportunities for a possible show in the Chicago area, so we're looking to bring it back here as well.
Awesome.
And young Jacob Tremblay will be playing Dee Snider.
Oddly. Right. Yeah, there you go. That's not the comedy role he wants.
No, that's going to kick it into the therapy.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah. And we were talking off the air. It turns out that jacket that Dee's wearing with the spikes, he picked it up at Marshall's. Did you know that, Dee?
If you notice, there's a slight defect in one of the arms.
Yeah, one of the spikes is missing.
It's in the big and twisted section. I worked on that during the break. I got it better.
You
than
read that? Yeah, that's original. Yeah, nice. How long have you been doing the horror convention?
I've done a lot of horror conventions all over the country. I did a horror movie called Strangeland 20 years ago that was actually the first of the torture horror films. It created a whole new genre. You're welcome. And it's become this cult film, so it's not just the Rock thing that gets me there. It's that I was the guy who wrote and starred in Strangeland.
Were you grow up, you were a fan of horror movies as a kid?
You know what? When I was really little, I was terrified. So it was one of those facing your fears things.
Yeah.
And then, it became just sort of an obsession as I became a teenager,
Give him the plug again.
Yeah, Linda Blair is going to be there. There's a Hellraiser reunion. Sean Astin, Daphne Zuniga, who's in town.
Sean Astin's there. It's huge.
Yeah, Stranger Things. He was great.
He was in Lord of the Rings. I think he was nominated for an Oscar at one point.
Rudy, also.
Yeah, I know. He's great. So November 17th through the 19th, Friday.
That's
through
today,
Sunday.
Through Sunday.
At the Chicago Schomburg Marriott. Get
sounds
out
so much
there
better when she says it.
I would give anything for all of these people to be sitting around a Thanksgiving table. How great would that be?
The horror Thanksgiving.
What are you thankful for? And Linda Blair spins her head around several times.
And gives pea soup to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem. There'd be a huge fight over who gets to cut the turkey, right? Everybody wants to cut.
Kane Hodder from Friday the 13th, he cuts the turkey every year.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, what am I doing? I'm going. You really want to know?
Yeah.
No, I brought it up because I just thought I'd kill some time.
We built a house in Belize. On the ocean, that's like our dream house.
Wow!
And we moved in a year ago, and so the whole family's coming down there, and it's going to be
how great is that?
Yeah. It was. We've always been since we were kids. We were saying one day, and we did it, and it's right on the water, and it's
grandkids
awesome.
Too.
The grandkids are going to be with the other grandparents this year. We share Thanksgivings, alternate Thanksgivings.
Yeah. It's funny. Same plan for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to my house in Belize.
Going to the beach?
Yeah.
He's putting out the kiddie pool in the backyard, throwing a little sand down.
How often are you going to be able to get there?
We go there pretty often. It's our kind of go-to place year-round when we have any kind of break, although we've been kind of busy. So in a good way, a lot of good things going on.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, I co-created an animated children's cartoon show called Monsters Rock that Netflix has picked
up. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it's designed
for... You get some of that Netflix money.
Yeah, 4 to 7-year-old kids, and it has rock and roll in it. And you get to watch it in a couple of years with your granddaughter.
Oh, great.
Steve.
Well.
Yeah, there you sit go. There and rock out with these cartoon shows.
You would love School of Rock that's playing now in town. All the kids are playing their own instruments. They are phenomenal, these kids.
The School of Rock's an amazing show. I hear great things about it.
Dean, as we continue.
Young Dee Snyders.
Little kids love Dee. When we interviewed him on TV this morning, we had someone write in when they heard he was going to be on, who's 5-year-old. Is a huge Dee Snider fan. So the 5-year-old dresses up like Dee.
Came to the studio. That's why I got the call, by the way. I literally got a call from a producer saying, listen, I don't know what it is about kids and you, but my nieces just are mesmerized by you. You have any ideas for a children's show? I said, well, as a matter of fact, they do.
Perfect.
And we went from there.
Yeah, as soon as you got this phone call, my idea for the children's show just came in.
Exactly. I'd never thought about it before.
But I have a great idea. It just came to me a second ago. Plug it one more time.
Days of the Dead, the Chicago Schomburg Marriott, November 17th. Today through the 19th, and go see Dee. He's going
to
be out there.
Good seeing you, pal.
Great to see you guys, too.
And,
always a pleasure.
If you think about taking that house timeshare for a while, let us know. We'll buy it.
I will let you know. You'll love it down there.
8:34, big story next, 720 WGN.
I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
My friend Peter Greenberg, when last we checked, was trapped in the Suez Canal. He's still trying to find a spot in the world he hasn't been. Does a great radio show you can pick up anytime. All the details on all of this, including great travel tips anytime at petergreenberg.com. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am fine, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. Are you still trapped in the Suez Canal?
I am. We're just exiting it now. It was about a 14-hour transit, starting in Port Said and now heading into the Red Sea, and then tomorrow morning we'll be in Jordan.
And you are there this time for what?
I'm there this time because when you think about it, so many ports, more than 1,000 ports of call for cruise ships around the world, but some are now off limits. Turkey is no longer being called on by U.S. cruise ships, Tunisia, Egypt, with the exception of where we are right now, transiting the Suez Canal. There are so many ports that are considered off limits now because of fears of security, safety, terrorism. Sure. But I'm on board the Constellation, a Celebrity cruise ship, and they're actually making the transit through the Suez Canal. What a cool thing to do. I had to come do it.
Of course you did. And I mentioned your radio show from crazy cool locations around the world all the time. You've done it here from Chicago, as a matter of fact. When can people consume it and where?
It's aired every Saturday from Chicago time, 9 a.m. to noon. Check your local listings. You can also, we stream it live online at petergreenberg.com.
All right, so holiday travel's coming up. It looks like we're going to get lucky with the weather next week outside of maybe Buffalo, which would be a cliche if they didn't have bad weather this time of year. It looks like we're going to be pretty good around the country. But so holiday travel, it always comes down to the same thing, right? Book early.
Well, book early and gas prices. And for automobile folks, the gas prices have not spiked considerably. You're going to see almost a record number of people on the road this year. When it comes to airfares, that's a little bit of a gray area because so much of the Caribbean is now not available, the infrastructure, thanks to the hurricanes. You're seeing, at the same time, ultra-long-haul discount carriers coming into the U.S. from overseas with the tremendous amount of available capacity. So if you don't have to go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving, it's cheaper to fly from Chicago to London than it is to fly from Chicago to Milwaukee.
How about that? Yeah. It's insane. Mm-hmm.
It is.
The pricing model for the airline business is always insane. That's why you never want to sit next to a stranger, strike up a conversation, and ask them what they paid for your ticket. You might jump.
Mm-hmm. You'll get miserable.
When it comes to the extras, the a la carte, what should we be paying for? Should we pay for the extra legroom?
It all depends on the length of the flight. I'm one of those guys who believes in what I call the center seat zen, and I'll explain what I mean for that. I developed this when I was a university student not far from you in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah. And
I believe that no matter what my boarding pass said, what my reservation said, what my seat assignment said, I firmly believed I was in 35C or 35E. And then if I got on the plane and it was 35E, I wasn't disappointed. I learned a long time ago I'd had to sleep on the tray table. And if it wasn't, I was pleasantly surprised. Too many people get upsold. If you go online and you try to make a reservation for a flight, then they show you the seating guide, and everything only left is the center seat. That doesn't mean that only center seats are left. That means only center seats supposedly available are displayed. That's why you and I talked about this before. Get on the phone and have a conversation with the airline because they hold back about 30%.
30%. So don't accept the center seat. You know, if you're walking up last minute and you expect to get on a flight you weren't booked on, it's a different story. But when you're booking ahead and you're picking your seat a week or two in advance, come on, you don't have to sit in the center seat.
No, you pick up the phone and talk to a human being, and it's amazing what happens. Now, if we're talking about next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, be happy you get any seat.
Right.
But in general, this rule applies.
When it comes to hotels, the talk to a human being is always crucial, too. It's amazing the amount of travel you do. But tell people how you get your luggage from one place to another and what you do about hotels.
Well, domestically, I haven't checked a bag in about 9 years. For the last 9 years, I FedEx my bags, but you can do it with UPS or any one of a number of about 16 other courier services, because in the process, I'm not only saving 2.5 hours of my life because it's door-to-door, I don't have to schlep.
Right.
And I'm not standing in any lines. And for about $25 more, than what the airline wants to charge me for losing my bag, I get there and it's there waiting for me.
I firmly believe that if not for you talking about it on this show and others, the company ShipSticks that ships golf clubs around the country wouldn't have been invented. I think they got the idea from you.
Well, you know, actually, to be honest, people were shipping their golf clubs way before I decided to FedEx my bags. And now it's gone the other way around. More people are shipping their bags. But remember this. It doesn't have to be there at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Look at the actual way bill for any of these shipping services. You know where you're going. Check off the box that says it'll get there 3 days later, especially when you're coming home. Your dirty laundry doesn't have to beat you home. You know, just do it that way.
Good point. Peter, first of all, thank you so much for the Iceland recommendation. Last we spoke, I went. It was wonderful. Trip of a lifetime. It was fantastic. So thank you for that.
And by the way, it's like $6 to fly there now.
It was wonderful.
It is. You have airlines out of Chicago going for $99.
Yep.
The other thing, now if you really want to be bold, go one step beyond that and go to the Faroe Islands, F-A-R-O-E. It's midway between Iceland and Denmark. And let me tell you, that's the next hot spot.
That's very cool, the Faroe Islands. All right, so here's my question to you. Now I'm seeing so many of these, not even travel companies, but like Groupon, Travelzoo, offering these 3 and 4 days to Puerto Vallarta or wherever it might be. What do you think of those? Are you a fan of those, or is that just kind of a cheap way to travel and, you know, you don't get the full experience?
Well, I'm a qualified fan of those if you know why you're going and what you're expecting. They're dealing with last-minute inventory, and let's face it, when you're at a resort, or let's face it, at any hotel, how much time are you spending in your room other than showering and sleeping?
Yep.
So unless you're planning on entertaining the entire state of Illinois in your hotel room, don't spend the money there. Spend it on food, cultural activities, right, outdoor activities. And that way, these packages work as long as you don't have unrealistic expectations of where your room's going to be, because it may not be oceanfront. It may not be facing the ocean. It may be 3 blocks from the ocean. But do you care, really? No, you don't.
Right.
I dropped the ball on the hotel question. Just real quickly, talk to a human being at a hotel. Why?
Well, I'm going to ask you this question. In fact, I'll ask all your listeners this question. It's actually a rhetorical question. How many of you do all of your travel reservations online? The answer is an overwhelming majority.
Sure.
Of you.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't realize is only 52% of the available inventory, whether it's an airline, cruise line, or hotel, is displayed online. So, you know, you do it online. You do it at 3 o'clock in the morning in your bathrobe. You don't have to talk to anybody. God forbid you should actually have a conversation. And you're disenfranchising yourself from 48% of what's out there. So here's my advice. Go ahead and research online, but don't forget that phone call, because the person at that individual hotel who you're talking to is the best arbiter of their actual inventory. And if the Schmidlap wedding just canceled and they have 60 available rooms, that may not ever get to their online display. They are there right there for you at a price you can suddenly afford.
I felt bad about the Schmidlacks. I hope they get some counseling and they're able to work that out. Take care of that throat, my friend. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you soon. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, you noticed the throat, huh?
Well, a little bit. And check out petergreenberg.com. All the best.
You got it, guys.
All right, there you
See
go.
You, Peter. That is true. There is you have to master sleeping on the tray table.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I needed you a few weeks ago when I had I was on a Southwest flight. Love Southwest, my favorite airline.
Uh-huh.
But when the seats don't even go back that much, 2 inches. But I needed the Steve Cochran elbow.
It's the knee.
Oh, it's the knee.
It's the knee. You don't push it. No. Let me tell you something. If you recognize me and I'm sitting behind you, don't put the seat back.
But you say it so politely to where they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir."
I don't know how polite I am. Just
it works.
I'm not there to wash or do your hair. Don't lean back if I'm sitting behind you.
Look at me, I'm the king of New York. Suddenly, I'm respectable, staring right at your lousy extension. Glory be, I'm the king of New York.
You're listening to Andrea and me. We were singing this earlier. We'll have to see if the stars of the show can actually compete with us.
I don't know. It'll be tough.
Yeah, very much so. It's welcome.
Tall order, yeah.
Newsies at the Marriott Theater, Lincolnshire, and shows through New Year's Eve. Wednesday through Sunday at 8, Wednesday and Sunday at 1, Saturday at 4:30. And welcome to the studio, Patrick Rooney and Eliza Pallas. How are you guys?
We're great.
Doing great. How are you guys?
How are
nice
you?
To see you both.
You too.
And we heard you sing a little bit during the break. And just so you know, I think you're really good.
Oh, thank you.
We
think you're really great, too.
No, stop. Where did you get the show? Let's start with you, Eliza. Where did you? Where were you cast the show out of? Where did they find you?
They found both of us. Well, we're both in New York right now, but we both got our starts at the Marriott.
So you did?
They knew.
Well,
they
that's cool.
Yeah.
We started with Godspell a couple years ago and did Spring Awakening, and Eliza did Evita.
Yeah, and we did October Sky. October Sky. We traveled with that.
We have a lucky situation here in that West is the Paramount in Aurora, and North is the Marriott Theater Lincolnshire. Which are that's two of the greatest off-Broadways you could have, I think.
Absolutely.
They're both great rooms.
Yeah, they're pretty fantastic. And I got to be a part of Sweeney Todd last spring.
Were you a psycho?
I was a psycho. I was a crazy one. No, I played Anthony.
Okay. All right.
He wasn't the demon Barbara Fleet
Street. I was not the demon.
No.
Now, you were both. you both came out of the Marriott Theater. Did you ever do a show together before this?
Yeah, we've done three shows together. We met doing Godspell about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
4 years ago?
That's a really big cast, though. They're not like working on Newsies, right? Now you're.
Oh, yeah. This is just a quaint cast. No, this is a cast of about 30. It is a huge cast. Mm-hmm. Lots of boys.
This is a great show. This is an uplifting show. It's a fun show.
Am I right? Isn't this where James Corden got discovered?
Didn't James Corden do Newsies? Two Governors, I think.
Oh.
I thought he did Newsies as well, but that's very impressive.
I would watch that, maybe.
Yeah, wouldn't it be good?
Yeah.
Yeah, and James Corden, the late night guy on CBS, the late night
guy.
Did
you guys laugh when you were reading the script about, like, the newspaper, and they used to roll them up, and you'd have to wait for it to be delivered to get your information, and then open it up and read the paper?
Who can imagine? We've got our phones now.
They were the news apps of their day. Yeah.
Did they actually make you guys read a physical paper?
Oh, heaven!
What's a physical paper?
See?
It's right over here. This thing.
I understand.
Smack both of you. What got you into acting? How young were you when you started?
I was in high school, actually. I played the flute and the piccolo in the pit orchestra, and I played with Seattle Symphony. And I just decided I wanted to get up on stage for a musical once.
So you grew up in Seattle?
Yeah.
And family still there?
Mm-hmm.
So when you said, I want to go to Broadway, you can't get any farther away from Seattle.
I know. My parents are very upset. It's a six-hour flight.
That's six. It's closer to Australia.
Big cut.
And what about you, Patrick?
I started in when I was like 12 in grade school.
Okay.
I was a really shy kid, and I thought I'd try to battle that by stepping in front of hundreds of people every night.
Face your fears.
I tried.
And where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Rochester, Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, but you guys spent a lot of time in Chicago, though.
Yeah, we both went to school here. I went to Roosevelt. Eliza went to Northwestern. And got our professional connections.
Good. Very nicely done.
You don't know, but you're sitting next to the legendary voice of Wildcat football and basketball, Dave Innitt.
Oh, my goodness. I should have gone to more sports games.
Oh, that's okay.
There you go.
It's amazing.
And what a tie-in, because Dave used to be a paperboy for some very famous people.
Dave was J. Edgar Hoover's paperboy when he grew up in Washington, D.C.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and we believe he may have been involved in the Kennedy assassination.
No, I'm
sure. Of course,
yeah.
We'll see in those papers.
Yeah, we'll
look
papers
about it.
Released.
We'll look it up.
Yes. Now, you're in New York now. You both have been there how long?
Only about 8 months.
Yeah.
Quite new. Yeah,
and the thing about Broadway is they're so welcoming. They go, please come in.
I know.
Take a major part.
We're suddenly the leads on Broadway. It's hard.
Do you have agents representing you in New York?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We both have agents.
We do.
He has a manager.
Yes.
And is it the typical process of going out again and again and again till you get cast?
All the auditions, hundreds of auditions, and then sometimes you get a bite or two.
Yeah.
It's hard, but fun.
But you got to get the first one to get the second, the third, the fifth, and the tenth in your Tony.
Exactly. You just got to keep showing up every single day.
Well, it's got to be exciting, though. You guys are young. You're out of school. You're living in New York. It's got to be a blast.
It's really fun. And it's so new still that we're, like, getting to know the city and exploring.
Yeah, it's got to be a blast.
It's great to be back here.
How do you afford New York? I mean, because it sounds so cool. You're young actors. You're living maybe in Greenwich Village or Soho or maybe
or in a box.
Or Harlem or Times Square. Exactly. So, you know, how is it being young and...
And broke.
Not completely wealthy.
Well, we both have day jobs. I work at gyms. I work at a yoga studio. I babysit. I nanny. I do all the jobs, all the odd jobs.
Yeah, you just make it work. You find different jobs. You find different. I work for 5 different catering companies in New York when I'm not doing shows.
Well, Patrick, you can also be a hair model. You have a fantastic head of hair, Dave.
Completely.
Yes, he does. Yes.
And I say that because I miss my own.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. 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 Anybody else in the family? Actors?
My aunt is an actress, but.
Back in Seattle?
No, she's in New York too, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's exciting.
Yeah, no, it's fun to be out there with her.
So she can keep an eye on you, and you have a little family there.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great, especially if you need bail. Patrick, anybody in the family?
My family's just very loud. We're just loud people, and that's it. I'm the only actor.
What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? Are you going home?
My parents are here for Thanksgiving.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I might just tag along. We'll see. I'll invite myself.
There we go.
But you guys have shows, obviously, through the holidays, so you're working.
We do. So we have a show like Wednesday night, and then on Thursday we have a on Friday we have a show. So
we need to bring these kids a turkey sandwich.
Oh, could you please?
Yeah. We're hungry. Right.
I'm a vegetarian.
Hopefully after the production.
A turducken.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So again, it's Newsies. It's at the Marriott Theatre, Lincolnshire. Shows Wednesday through Sunday at 8, Wednesday and Sunday, 1 o'clock shows, Saturday at 4:30 as well. That's a lot of work, kids. MarriottTheater.com for more information. You can also call the box office at 847-634-0200. Ticketmaster.com is an easy way to get tickets, obviously. Would you guys sing for us? And what will you be singing?
We're singing Something to Believe In from the second act. It's a little bit of a romantic song. Yeah.
All right. When you're ready, they're going to make their way to the microphone here in the studio. And hopefully you'll be able to watch a little of this on CLTV as well. Nice, aren't they? Nice people? Aren't they lovely people?
Yeah, super nice. Yeah. We're going to give them newspapers, too, when they leave.
Compared to some of the guests we had earlier.
Oh!
All right, so when you're ready, are we ready, technical team? We are ready. Bob's under control. Here you go. Once again, from Newsies, this is Patrick Ramsey and Eliza Pallas. Enjoy this now on 720 WGN and CLTV.
To meet, and then we meet, who knows why? One more stranger on the street, just someone sweet passing by. An angel come to save me, who didn't even know she gave me something to believe in for even a day. One day, maybe forever, but that's okay, that's okay. And if I'm gone tomorrow, what was us still will be. I have something to believe in, now that I know you believed in me. Know what I believe in? Look into my eyes and see. And if I'm gone tomorrow,
what was ours still will be.
I have something to believe in, now that I know you believed in me. have something to believe in. Now that I know you believed in me.
What that?
Woo!
How about that? You don't just walk in off the street and do that. That's very impressive. The Marriott Theater, Lincolnshire, Newsies. Patrick and Eliza, thank you guys. It was beautiful. Really, really
very
beautiful.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful.
And happy Thanksgiving.
You as well.
Oh, that's really nice. I don't want those guys to leave. I'm going to leave.
They're awesome.
Wait, that's not right. That doesn't work out. Tom Skilling will join us in a second. Again, Newsies, Ticketmaster.com for tickets at the Marriott Lincolnshire. Make sure you see it this holiday season on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Look at that.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Look at that.
On Chicago's very own.
Oh, my word.
720.
What do you think of this guy?
WGN.
Nobody better than our friend Tom Skilling telling you right now. Hey, before we go to Tom, we have Saturday Night Live in the morning tickets. Saturday Night Live on a Tuesday morning. We'll be at Saturday Night Live, the experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications on Tuesday morning. Dave and Andrea and Mary and Steve. Well, Steve, I guess, has to be here in case something breaks out, including him. But
we'll all be there.
You'll meet the show. You'll meet the show. We'll do the show live from the set of Weekend Update and Saturday Night Live, the experience, and you get a very private viewing of the show. There's only going to be 50 people there.
I'm so psyched. I mean, I'm a huge Saturday Night Live.
Jonathan. Only way to get in is tickets. Tickets are free, and they're for me, and you can win them now at 312-981-7200. Let's go caller 7, caller 8, and caller 9. Huh? Happy holidays. Ooh. Early. There's three pair of tickets right there. Caller 7, caller 8, caller 9. And our friend Tom Skilling, he can go. Tom, I can get you in, but nobody else.
Wow. All right. I'm game, Steve. Sounds like fun. By the way.
I'm doing great, and happy Thanksgiving in advance here a little bit.
Thank you, Steve. I have pointed to seem possible we're coming up on that already.
It's crazy.
It's a great time of the year, isn't it? Kind of cloudy, but also colorful in its own way with the fall colors and all the fun associated with Thanksgiving. That's really great.
I love the holidays. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And what do you get Tom Skilling that he doesn't already have? Like an engraved barometer? What do we get you?
You know what? I'm such a happy guy. I've got about everything I need, Steve. I don't think I really need anything. Just to hear your voice is fun. So,
Tom's like me. I like giving stuff. You know, it'd be nice if you got me some. No, I like to give stuff. I like to gift.
I know. You know what, Steve, though? You're probably a lot better in the ideas you come up with on what to give folks. I'm always afraid I'll get something that they don't want and, have to immediately go and return.
Well, you know what? I've reached a point in my life, Tom, where it doesn't offend me if you return it. I gave it a shot.
I have a feeling, though, a gift from Tom Skilling would be that would be the gift.
Sure. Sure.
Just to get a gift from Tom.
So what happened earlier this week? It looked like we were going to have an Armageddon storm on Saturday. We got lucky, I guess, huh?
Well, you know what? I was surprised when you called me back on Monday and said, hey, let's talk on Friday about this storm. There was a storm that we saw coming in. But the thought was that it might be a thunderstorm producer. And, that, being in the warm sector of it, we might get some severe weather. But it was kind of a marginal thing. But, it's a respectable weather system that we've got wrapping up here. We'll get a little rain with it. Might start as some scattered showers late today and some more widespread periods of rain tonight, tomorrow morning. The most interesting thing that's going to happen is it might briefly go over to wet snow before it pulls out of here later tomorrow. So tomorrow afternoon might have some flakes of snow in the air.
You see anything coming down the pipe in the next 10 days that would mean accumulation that would be significant?
No, I don't, Steve, not at this point. And, we're at the time of the year when these things can come together pretty quickly. The Mother Nature's doing that old battle in the central U.S. between the growing cold up over the snow cover of Canada and the retreating warmth of summer and early autumn. Now, as we get deeper into autumn, the fall colors, they're passing, and the air masses become sharper so the storms can fly, you know, can come together at a pretty good clip. But I don't see one for us. There is what's called the Pineapple Express going into the western U.S. That's that long fetch of moisture that comes up from the tropics south of Hawaii and goes all the way up into the west coast. And, boy, they get some big rains out of that. The more common term for it these days is an atmospheric river, because you get this rather narrow channel of air that runs up into the country. And, boy, when it makes contact with those mountains and is lifted out west, you get some huge amounts of rain and big snows in the mountains. And we get these leftover systems that come over the Rockies from that. One such system is the one coming in later today and tomorrow.
Tom, some winters we're very lucky. It's cold, but we don't get a lot of snow. Other times, like year before last, there's less cold and tons of snow. What are you thinking for this winter?
What, you turn them into the Farmer's Almanac?
I know. And I'm sorry, Tom. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, Andrea.
I just need to plan my morning commute for the next six months.
A good question, and we get that question a lot, so no problem at all. Look, this is going to be a La Nina winter. There's a cooling of the equatorial Pacific, and that has global weather consequences. For the Midwest, what that usually means is a volatile winter. We'll flick from Arctic air masses back into milder Pacific air masses, so your temperatures gyrate rather wildly. But we've looked at these past La Nina winters, and a couple of things come through on them. One, we bias toward heavier precipitation, both in the rain and or the snow department. And it'll be interesting to see how the temperatures lay out with these things, because it will decide how much we get as liquid and how much comes down in crystalline form. So I'd say a volatile winter with temperatures going from Arctic cold to mild Pacific here at times. And when all is said and done, we've looked at past La Nina winters, and there actually is a slight bias on the warm side. So when the books are closed at the end of the cold season coming up, we may have registered a slight surplus. And by the way, the models that we look at, they're running a breed of model that marries the atmosphere with the ocean. These models are run out to 10 months ahead. And we look at 8 different ones in this country and average them together. And all of them average out to a warmer than average winter, which, by the way, is completely consistent with what's been going on. 24 of the last 28 months around here have been above normal in temperature. So you wouldn't be, out of line assuming that persistence plays a role here, and that that increases your odds that even though we may have snowstorms and cold waves, that they won't be the kinds of things that park over us for weeks on end. And that, in fact, when all is said and done, as we say, we may even have a slight temperature surplus. Does that make any sense?
It makes total sense.
I'm okay with that.
As you look around the country, it looks like we're going to get lucky with travel if people are flying or driving. Outside of Buffalo, and maybe the typical southern tip of Lake Michigan stretch there, which is always subject to, the storm blowing up. It looks like the rest of the country looks pretty good.
No, you're right, Steve. We've got this system going through in the next 24 hours. As far as a huge storm over the Thanksgiving period, it doesn't look like a high probability at all. Certainly not for us. And in fact, there's some mild air coming in. Thanksgiving itself may come in around 42, which is a little below normal. But there are signs that warmer than average weather may take hold Friday, Saturday, Sunday in our area for the rest of the holiday period.
Good for shopping.
Yeah, I was going to say the Black Friday forecast may be pretty good. Sunshine, temperatures well into the 40s, if not close to 50.
Wow.
So great big shopping day, weather-wise.
Well, listen, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. We love you. You know that. And
Steve, the feeling is mutual, and I hope you guys do, too. It's always fun to talk to you. And keep knocking them dead in the morning, Steve. You're doing a great job.
That's nice. It's nice of you to say. Coming from you, it always means more. It's our friend Tom Skilling on Channel 9. He's on every newscast, starting with the one at 9:45 a.m., and then there's one at 10:15. Every 15 minutes, Channel 9 does a newscast now.
Through 10 o'clock p.m.
Through 10 o'clock
Tom always works. He's the best.
And then you guys are on all weekend. And I don't know. I'm confused. I got to check my local listings. Back with a big story on Andrea next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I want to welcome back a guest from our past. You know, I think I mispronounced your name last time, Aaron. Is it Bartles or Bartels?
My family calls it Bartels, but that's up in the air with the rest of the family.
Yeah,
you can go either way.
You like Bartels?
We'll
go with Bartels. Teresa All Bartels. And Gateway is it's just an amazing organization. And Gateway for Cancer Research is hosting its 26th annual Cures Gala. This time the Gateway to Oz, Saturday night at the Grand Ballroom at McCormick Place. How have you been?
Terrific. We've been raising money. And
I know we've been raising
giving.
Money. How are you? What about you? How are
Me?
You?
Me? Well, busy. Lots of people in our orbit that we're trying to take care of.
I bet I can't ask you one question you'll answer just about you, right? You're always coming back to message. But good for you, because it's an important message. Tell everybody about Gateway. How long has Gateway existed?
Gateway's celebrating our 26th anniversary this year.
Thus the 26th.
Correct.
But having said that, I think what you do is a little bit under the radar because you're so busy doing it, supplying research money to some of the top organizations on the planet.
I think that we are probably an unsung organization because we're raising money, but we're funding most of the cancer centers around the country. And it's phase one and two, early phase clinical trials. So a lot of times those aren't the blockbuster kinds of research that you hear about. They're the initial phases that get things going.
But none of the stuff that works. But, you know, and we've talked about this many times. People go, we've been raising money for cancer for 75 years. How come there's not more breakthroughs? I'm here to tell you, there's breakthroughs all the time.
There are.
Because people forget, cancer is an umbrella term that includes so many different illnesses.
Correct.
And there's cancers we've cured, there's cancers we will cure, and there's cancers we're making breakthroughs on.
Yeah, what we think is that this year there's about 1.7 million people in this country that will be diagnosed with some form of cancer, and that's probably over 200 different 200 different kinds that have been identified.
It's unbelievable.
And we know now that you can identify cancer at the molecular level. So the mutation is really what we're looking at more so than the organ of origin,
yeah,
which makes it even more precise and targeted. And so I think, you know, that's going to change the
and
way
that comes out of clinical trial work.
Precisely.
Right? Yeah.
Two-thirds of the people diagnosed this year can expect to survive because of research.
How about that?
We've met some of the beneficiaries of some of these trials. You call them the next generation trials because
yes,
they become more advanced, these trials, as time goes on.
That's because of the ability now to identify the genomic traits of the mutation as well as the proteins. And every person is different genetically and every tumor is different. So more and more, the researchers are trying different combinations of therapies, drugs or devices that get the immune system, mm-hmm, your own immune system turned on to recognize that this cancer doesn't belong there. And take it over.
We have, a friend of mine from high school, the Tribune just did an article about her, Dr. Gail Savalauskas. We were talking about her, Steve. She was a breast cancer survivor and created, basically, through trial, a procedure by which you can undergo chemotherapy, but it protects your heart. In other words, your heart is tested to see how much you can take before.
But that goes to
begins.
The question I was just going to ask, too, because how many times growing up did you hear the treatment's worse than the disease? It seems to, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to so much of the focus now is on making sure the patient is taken care of in
right,
the search for the cure. In other words, it's not a bunch of researchers in a lab just going, hey, I got it. If it hurts them, so what? That's not how it works.
Yeah. And that's why when you read our mission statement, it talks about funding clinical trials that help people living with cancer to feel better, live longer and conquer cancer today.
Right.
So we're also funding doctors who are looking at ways to make those treatments less toxic and more palatable. And we are measuring 20 different indicators that include things like, how does the patient feel about that?
Yeah. Sure.
Does the patient have an increased sense of hope as a result of going through that trial? So there are new ways that we're pushing the researchers to look at people living with cancer, not just patients to be treated.
How'd you get in this business?
I've been involved in a lot of things in the community and ended up on the board at Midwestern Regional Medical Center, which is part of Cancer Treatment Centers of America,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and became just completely enamored of the way that the doctors there take care of people, and understanding that cancer is just, it's the most horrific diagnosis that somebody can hear.
No, nobody hears cancer and thinks good news. And I don't know anybody that's ever been heard the word cancer didn't think they were going to die the moment they heard the word.
Exactly.
So it's very cruel. But you bring us good news today with your two-thirds story and with also the story of how much you guys are able to return. I don't know. Your administrative costs are remarkably low.
Well, we're very fortunate because Cancer Treatment Centers of America underwrites all of our expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tremendous commitment on their part because we're not funding them. They are paying for our expenses so that we can raise the money from the public and then return that to all the other cancer centers around the country who are doing that basic research, not basic research, but early phase research with people.
Well, you don't get, if you don't have phase one and phase two, you don't get to phase three.
So many organizations, yeah. say, you know, 10% of the profits, 20% donated. This is almost every dollar,
exactly.
every penny goes yeah. to the research.
We can't control the credit card fees. So.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Of every
they're,
dollar,
they're,
right.
they're not taking care of that. Right. And a remarkable stat I saw in some of the notes, $16.56 funds one patient for one day in a clinical trial.
That's kind of the average.
That's an amazing number.
Yeah.
We have a board of scientific counselors that really looks at the science of each proposal that we receive. And they also look at the budget to make sure that the expenses are aligned so that we're not spending money unnecessarily. And we only pay when they enroll a patient. So it's very much patient-focused research.
We want to remind people again, the big party is tomorrow night, Gateway for Cancer Research, 26th Annual Cures Gala. It's a gateway to Oz. Will you be dressing up as one of the Oz characters?
Well, I'm originally from Kansas, so I am Dorothy.
Oh.
No, I won't be dressing as Dorothy.
Oh.
It's quite a beautiful, spectacular event.
I can imagine.
I think everybody will be dressed to the nines.
So. At the Grand Ballroom yes. at McCormick Place. And how do we get tickets? Do we do it in advance or just show up?
You can do please do it in advance so we know you're coming.
Yes.
Go to our website, gatewaycr.org. And you can just send us an email, and we'll give you a call back at this point because we've got limited seating available at this point. It's pretty much sold out.
Whenever you come back, I'm going to try to talk about you. You'll never do it. You're very selfless, and I appreciate it.
I have five sons, and I could tell you all kinds of stories about them.
See, there you go again.
Five sons.
There you go. have a great weekend and a happy Thanksgiving, and congrats on your success, and obviously have fun tomorrow night.
Thank you both very much.
Thanks,
for having us.
Nice to have
again.
You here. Bill and Wendy coming up 9:53 on CLTV and 720 WGN.